Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. It has been a day. God has waked me since 3 this morning. I had some things that I had been praying for, and he gave me the vision and made it plain. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. And the word God gave me early this morning is the Lord will provide a ram in the bush. God will provide what you need it, when you least expect it, because that's just what he does. He provides. God provides. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are. And the word that God gave us in our prayer this morning, and it is so much grace. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Lord, in the craze of life and responsibilities, it is so easy for me to forget the grace that I undeservingly live under. Gracious God, you give out of the fullness of your being. You are not lacking in love or running low on mercy. You are like a rushing river of life, ever flowing, never receding. Today I am reminded that where I have been seen lack, you see an opportunity, a place that is ready to receive kindness out of them of your character and kingdom. It makes no difference to you if my need is spiritual, physical, emotional, financial. You have more than enough to fill every dry in every place and make it new. You make it into a place of growth and beauty. I invite you into these hard places and spaces in my life. Don't hold back, God. You have access to all of it. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with a gracious heart filled with love and kindness, God, asking you to forgive us for any sin seen and unseen, any thoughts, words, or deeds, God. We ask forgiveness and ask you to clean us from the inside out, God. Give us clean hearts and right spirits before we go into your word this morning. Father God, I lift up each and every listener, those that listen live and those that listen late, asking you, Lord God, to lead, guide, and show us that ram in the bush, God. For you are a provider. You are our Father. You are our everything. And we can only say to you, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your mercy and for your kindness, God. So, Father God, as we get ready to go forth, we ask you as always, please increase as we decrease. For you are our Lord. You are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our everything, God. And we cannot do this without you. So, Father God, take control. In the name of Christ Jesus, we give ourselves away for you to use us this morning. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you on this nice, cool, crisp morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine.
Do you know what the temperature is?
I do. It is this morning, and it's 31 degrees, but the high today is 39, and we will have some snow somewhere down the road, probably later on this tonight, actually. It's looking like we got a slushy, rainy day coming up tomorrow. So,
wow.
And it'll be about 18 degrees, so it's going to be a slushy, icy day tomorrow. And we're going to get down into the cold for Martin Luther King Day. We're talking -4, so bundle up. Woo, we got some cold weather coming up next week. All week it's below zero until Thursday, and then we get snow, and then below zero again. So we're going to be all right, though, because God is good. So, Mother, 31 degrees, and we're going to call it Chris. How's that? It's a Chris morning.
Amen.
And I'm turning it over to you. We got a great word this morning. Woo! It is a great word. I'm getting all giddy because, you know, we've talked about, Mother and I have talked about the situation going on in Gaza and Israel as a family feud. And these two chapters of Genesis are basically showing you, you know, with Abraham and his two sons. You know, one son, you know, he is basically, he and his mama are kicked to the curb with a bottle of water. I mean, I'm just calling it like it was. You know, he didn't give her horses and camels and stuff to go and make a new life. It's, oh, well, here's some stuff, and here's your kids, and here's a bottle of water. See you later. 13 years. This child is 13 years old when his dad basically kicks him to the curb, him and his mom, because of jealousy of the one that started the stuff in the first place. But, again, God told him to let her go, to send her on. And this woman prayed to God, cutting it all down in her. But we're going to read the whole. So we wonder why there's this conflict, because it's a father-son situation. Can you imagine being 13 years old and your dad says, well, I got another child, my real child. You know what I'm saying? My real child from my wife. So I'm going to kick you out. I ain't got nothing to do with you anymore. That ain't right. It's not right. But especially when you've lived with your daddy, you've hung out with your daddy, you and your dad love each other. But because your mama's got conflict, dad has to let you go because he's got a legitimate child now. But God can provide. And so we're going to see how God provides for Hagar, Ishmael. We're going to see how God provides for those that you think that the least of. Because Hagar, again, was a slave. She had no choice in the matter. And when I read the story of Hagar and Abraham, I always think about slavery. And I can't help it, Mother. I think about slavery, and I think about how many of our ancestors were children were stripped away, or they were sent away because they had a child by the master, not by choice.
My God,
why do I have Swedish and Spanish and Danish in my blood, English and Welsh in my DNA. All I'm saying, you know, we have to understand that life is rough. But Hagar, I can't help. You know, I think of my ancestors when I see her story, you know, and it's like, well, she trying to be uppity, you know, and you can hear those kind of terms and things being said about our ancestors who were forced to have children with their masters. But anyway, I'm not going to digress into history. American history. We're going to go into it. So, Mother, take us to the throne and to the Word of God. And remember, family, as we get ready to go in this Word, the Lord will provide a ram in the bush every time you need it. God provides it. God provides. Mother, it's all yours. Take us there.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for who you are. We thank and praise you for the Son wise. For God, you are a God of repetition. If you did it once, you do it again. And you did it again. You woke us up. You did it again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We say hallelujah, which is the highest praise. And we just love you, Lord. Bless your word. Bless the hearers of your word. In Jesus' name. You did it again. You are a God of repetition. You did it once, and you can do it again. And you did. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Coming out of Genesis 21, 1, 22, 24. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had spoken. So Sarah conceived, bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the same time in which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all sincere will laugh with me. Abraham was 100 years old having a baby. Isn't that amazing? When I read that, that is totally amazing. An old man having a baby and an old woman. But is there anything too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for God. If God, if you're 200 years old and God wants you to have a baby, you will have a baby. If he spoke the word and said that you will conceive, you will conceive. It's God who made the womb, and it's God who made you. So Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh at me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have bore him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was waned, and Abraham made a great feast on that day that Isaac was waned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had bore to Abraham, scoping. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of the son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, put it on her shoulder. He gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. I mean, that's a sad thing. It was sad for Hagar because he didn't understand, and for the boy because he didn't understand. And like she was saying, they had a relationship. But Sarah got jealous. He sent her away. Thus she departed, wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water and the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went, sat down across from him at a distance for about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? You're not. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water. She went, filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife of him from the land of Egypt. came to pass at that time that Amalek, Bilhah, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me in my offspring or with my prosperity, but that according to the kindness that I've done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I will swear. Then Abraham rebuked Amalek because of a well of water, which Amalek's servant had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has sent this thing. You did not tell me, nor have I heard it of it until today. So Abraham took sheep, oxen, and gave them to Amalek. And the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 70 lambs of flock by themselves. Then Amalek said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these 70 lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you will take these 70 lambs from my hand that they may be my witness that I have dug this well. Therefore, he called that place Bathsheba because of the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Bathsheba. So Amalek rose with Bilhah, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Bathsheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. Chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. I know when God told Abraham to go and offer his son, his only son, on that mountain, I bet Abraham, I mean, this is just my outlook at it. He probably cried and said, are you really God? I can't do this. Offer my son. No, I'm not going to do it. My opinion on this. He said, offer your son. And he called him his only son. And so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, with the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham trusted God. You know, even though he didn't know what was going to happen upon that mountain, he told them to stay here. And the lad, he perceived that the lad, they were coming back, both of them. I mean, that's a lot of trust, a lot of faith. He didn't know what was going on, but he said, as two of us, we will come back to you. I guess he felt that if God slayed his son, he would raise him up. Man, that's a lot of faith. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son. Then he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father? And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Then Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And that's the title. The Lord will provide a ram in the bush. Oh, that's amazing. He said, God will provide an offering. Then they came to the place. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to do it. He really was going to kill him. And that shows a lot of faith that you would kill your only son. that you would do it because God told you to do it and you were going to do it. But as we read before, we will come back to you. Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So he had a lot of faith. Even though he took that knife, getting ready to slay his son, he still felt that they would come back. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God will provide. God will provide. God will provide a ram in the bush, and he did it again. He did it for Abraham. Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, that is totally beautiful. I mean, Abraham felt that him and the young boy was coming back. He didn't know what was going to go on. He took the knife, had it in his hand, and was going to come down and slay his son, his only son. And you know what? They say that the boy was big enough to stop his father from doing what he was going to do to him, but the lad had faith too. He obeyed. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Come on now.
He obeyed his faith. I mean, that's amazing to me when I read this story. He got up. He lay down on the altar. He let his father tie him up. He obeyed. That's a lot. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, and the Lord will provide. A lot of times we don't think that. That's a lot of noise. I can hear a lot of noise. Mute your phone, please. I can hear too much noise. Please mute the phone. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing. I will bless you and multiplying. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. Can you see, can you count the stars of heaven? I know I can't. So multiply the seed as the stars of heaven. That's how many children and people would be born in that family. And as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice to kill your son. I'm saying he obeyed his voice to kill his son, his only son. So Abraham returned to his young men. They rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, indeed, Malchi also has borne children to your brother Nahor, Huz the firstborn, Buz his brother, Kemel the father of Aram, Tel, Helzo, Philbash, Jetleb, and Bethu. And Bethu begot Rebekah. Then these eight Malchi bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother, his concubine, whose name was Kenmal, also bore Tebah, Graham, Tadash, and Naha. Or, look at all those names. I mean, to me, they had strange names. Names that you have to Google and look up in order to even pronounce
how
names.
To pronounce. Yeah. You have to go to the how to pronounce. Yes.
Amen.
How do I pronounce this name? Mother, would you go back and please read your life example?
The life lessons. life lessons. Abraham, the man of endurance. Call Abraham not only a man of faith, but a man of endurance. The starting gun sounded when Abraham, when God promised Abraham a son in his old age. Abraham believed in the Lord. See Genesis 15, 5, and 6. But a year came and went, and no child arrived. Abraham kept running. 2 years flashed by, still no child. Abraham kept running. Despite a stumble at mid-race, Abraham keeps running. And he kept running until last, at the age 100, he and his wife was 99, had a son. Why that long wait? Apparently, God wanted Abraham and us to learn the connection between waiting, trust, and hope. And that hope, the Apostle Paul reminds us, promote us to wait on God with perseverance. Even if that means running the longest marathon of your life, you have to wait on God. It seems sometimes like, if, you know, God, when is it going to happen? When, God, when? But Abraham waited and kept running. He knew God had made him a promise, and he knew that God can't fail. So he kept waiting, and kept trusting. Until it did happen. It really did happen. Genesis 21:16. She said to herself, let's not see the death of the boy. Hagar discovered that we learn more in our valley experience than on our mountaintop. Only when it seemed as though all hope was lost did she find her ultimate hope in God. She thought her son was going to die, and she was weeping and crying. And the angel talked to her. Hagar, why weepest thou? God, I mean, he was going to do something with the boy, too, with Hagar's son, because it was the seed of Abraham. So, you know, God made everything turn out okay. Genesis 22:1. It came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. God permits testing for all of his children, including his own son, Jesus Christ. See Matthew 4:1. For Abraham, this had to be a dark time when God told him to sacrifice your son, your only son. And Abraham was going to do it. He took a knife, getting ready to slay that boy. For Abraham, it had to be a dark time, but it lasted only so long as was necessary for God to accomplish his first purpose in Abraham's life. God wanted to see if Abraham would obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Would he actually obey me? And I'm telling him to kill his beloved Isaac. He loved that boy. He loved him. A baby that he helped grow up. And I'm going to tell him to go kill that son of yours. Kill him. Wow. You know, it reminds me of what God did with Jesus, his only son. Jesus died for us, and that was God's only son. And Abraham was just being tested. Genesis 22:5. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. This is Abraham. Even before, you know, God told him to slay his son, he told the people that was with him, well, that's what he felt. The lad and I will come back. Even if God has told me to kill him, I'm going to slay him, but I know God's going to raise him up. We will be back. I mean, how can you believe that? He believed it because he had faith. He believed it. He told him, the lad and I will go yonder. We're going to worship. And we will come back to you. Abraham expressed confidence that both he and Isaac would return alive to the servants, even though he intended to obey God's commandment to sacrifice his son. Abraham obeyed and trusted, though he did not understand. He didn't understand what was going on. He didn't know he was being tested, that God had put him, you know, to a test. He didn't know that. Genesis 22 and 14, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Like the title, the Lord will provide a ram in the bush. Wow. A lot of times we don't know what's going on. But if we go to the throne and sit of the throne, God will whisper in your ear, show your vision. He will provide. And we're children. El Shaddai, Elohim, the great one, the redeemer, the rock. I am who I am. He will provide. That's if we trust God. In the mouth of the Lord is he provided. The Lord will provide always. He may surprise us. He may perplex us. He may make us wait. But he will always provide exactly what we need when we need it. If we wait, wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Again, I'll say, wait. Wait on the Lord. And my Lord, he did provide for Abraham, and he will provide for all of us. Day by day. Like I say, God is a God of repetition. He's a God of repetition. If he did it once, he'll do it again. I'm turning this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Ooh, what a word, what a word, what a word. And just that God provides. That, you know, and I love, there's a song you were singing, God, you don't mind waiting, and there's a song by William McDowell, and it says, I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you. Lord, I need you. Yes, I need you. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you. Woo! Those words just fill me up. And if time permits, I'll play it at the end of the show. But I don't mind waiting on the Lord. We can't mind waiting because God will provide. And, you know, that one part, it says, the closer I get, the louder I get. Desperate, I am desperate for you. We got to get loud for the Lord and let him know the closer he gets, the louder I get. We wonder why you hear people in church just scream. You know, a scream just comes out of their mouth. But it's not a scream of pain. It's a scream of praise. Because the louder, the closer God is getting, the louder they're getting. The closer you get, the louder I get. Because you just want God to know, I hear you, Lord. You know, and Abraham, talk about Abraham's faith. To give your child up. About Jesus, the sacrifice. Abraham, God gave a ram in the bush. And Jesus came and took and paid it all for us. He was the ram in the bush. He was the spotless ram. He was I am. He was who he was, a savior. You can't help but get filled up when you think about it. God provides. And then as we go into our word this morning, I will be coming out of the sixth Psalm, verses 6 through 10. I'll be coming out of our favorite proverb, and I'm sorry, Mother, I meant for you to have this word today, but I just wanted to hear you say a ram in the bush. So anyway, but I may let Mother come back and read, and she can speak on Proverbs 35 and 6. I do have those this morning, and I do trust in the Lord. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 34, we'll finish up Matthew 8 this morning. And the word of God in Psalm 6:6, I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. And when I read that word, I'm like, Lord, I've been there. Lord, that's my testimony. I've been in that spot, in that place. just couldn't deal with some things. And it says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. Folks will go after you when they feel you are the most vulnerable. People that you think are your friends, you find out, are not. Folks you think are your sisters in life are not. Folks that you think have your back, they do not. Because it's like hyenas. When a hyena is vulnerable and hurt, the pack turns against it and eats it up. Dog eat dog. And that's where you got to see it in the word. It's also, you know, we got to understand that when we are the most vulnerable, that's when we get attacked the most. And I've been there. I am weary with my groaning all night. I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows all my enemies. Went through some stuff in my life. But God provide a ram in the bush. Never think that God does not have your back, because he always does and he always will. We got to keep trusting God. We got to keep believing that God can and God will take care of you, because he loves you like that. God will take care of you. There was a song that we used to sing, God will take care of you. And that was one of the jams back in my day. And you could get loud, God will take care of you. I don't have my singing voice this morning, but God will take care of you. And as we go into our proverb, one of the first proverbs I learned, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Stand in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And I can tell you, in my life, God has directed my path. In my life, God has always been there. Even when I least expected, he was there. God has always been there. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I stand on that word. God does not forsake us. God does not leave us. God loves us like that. You know, as I was going in and reading my word this morning, you know, because I do have a word that I do before I come on. And it was a psalm, and it was the 27th psalm. And it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's the 27th Psalm verse of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We want to dwell in the house of the Lord. We want to seek his face. We want to be in his presence. We want to know that God has got us covered, that he will provide what we need. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, this morning. And as we go into Matthew chapter 8, and it says this, and when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son is a late busy. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Then why are you fearful, you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the wind and sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? When he had come to the other side, to the country of Gennesaret, and I know I'm not saying that right, Gennesaret, forgive me, but he got to the other side. And I will have that word down. But it says, there met him two demon-possessed men, coming out of the tomb exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, your Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Again, the demons know that their time is coming and that they are going to go into the pit. He said, torment us before it's time, because they know that the time is coming. This is now a good way off from them. There was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged them, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the sea place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And I want to put a pin right there, because there is in one of the other gospels the same story, but it does not say men, it says man. So different perspective. And it said, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Depart from our region. They were like, oh, no. This man is running demons into the sea. Oh, no. We can't. And into our swine, because you got to imagine. I believe it's the book of Luke that is, that the legion is in. Because that's what they said, I am legion. And I'm going to look it up.
Amen. Amen. You know, the demons even had something to say.
Oh, yeah.
Did they go?
They, because they know Jesus.
Amen.
They know Jesus, and because they know Jesus, they were like, oh, shoot, here he is. He just had to come over here. I'm sure they were like, ah, here he comes. Why you got to come over here?
And they were saying, what have you
come over here? You know, I'm sure they're like, ah, you know, you can hear them now. What have we to do with you, Jesus? And then he's like, I'm about to send you into the swine. What have we to do with you, Jesus?
Isn't that amazing? That's totally amazing.
And I'm sure that Jesus was like, well, what you have to do with me is I'm about to get rid of you out of this man.
Amen.
Because the fact of the matter is, you know, in the gospel, and I believe it's Luke, they talk about the fact that he was, you know, he said, I am legion. He said that they were like, you know, what are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? You know, what have we to do with you?
Amen.
With you, Jesus. And I'm sure Jesus was like, Luke chapter 4, there it is. I knew it was in there. Leave us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? You know, and Jesus was probably like, yeah, that about sums it up. because it's like, no, you're not going to stay in this man. You know, and in this case,
amen.
And it says the Lord, and I'm going back to our psalm this morning, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. How did the psalmist know that God had heard his prayer? How could he express such confidence that the Lord would answer his request? Through faith, he prayed in faith, and he expected an answer by faith just like us. And I believe that with every part of my being. I remember when we were getting the house that I lived in. We needed a down payment. And not knowing that years before we had bought some land. And I remember praying. And I remember asking God for a certain amount that we needed for the down payment and more for the land when we sold it to be able to buy our house. And we got more land than we had when we bought our house. You know, so we have a house and the land. And that's why I say God provides what you need when you ask. You know, we didn't know that when we bought the land, we had planned on building the house and all this stuff. But that was not God's plan. God's plan was something different. And so I have to say, what God provides, God will provide you what you need. All you got to do is ask. As I've told you my testimony about my chimney, God knew I needed. There was not a want. It was a need. And God provided that need. And all I can say is God will provide. And it says in Matthew 8:26, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. That peace be still moment. Jesus like, y'all just silly. You know, y'all with me, been with me, saw me do the things I've done. And why would you be afraid with me in this boat that we going to capsize? And it says the storm terrified the disciples, but it didn't so much as raise an eyebrow on the Lord. Why? The difference? Because Jesus trusted that God would get them to the other side. Bam. And that's what we have to remember. We got to trust God to get us to the other side of whatever your situation. And I can tell you there have been times where I didn't trust God and I regret it. Regret it. Mess up some stuff because I wasn't trusting God. And now you got to deal with your mess because you were too busy trying to do you. And we got to not try to do us. We got to do God because God is in charge of everything. And when we come to the realization of the truth of the man, we can move forward. We can move forward. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. A prayer, we should, that's a psalm, a proverb that we should pray. Lord God, I trust in you with all my heart. Lord, I lean not on my own understanding. Lord God, I acknowledge you as my Lord, as my Savior, as my Father, as my friend. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. Father God, I lift up my eyes unto the hills from which my help comes from, and I know my help comes from you. Lord God, direct my path. And I believe that God will do it. I believe he will.
Amen.
Changes all kind of things. I recently bought my prayer scarf. I already have a prayer pillow, and I'm using it. I am planning. I haven't been using it faithfully. But I'm asking God, Lord, I'm getting ready to use this prayer pillow faithfully because I'm believing God can do some stuff. I'm truly believing. Oh, you of little faith. Isn't that what it says? We can't be of little faith. We got to have big faith. We have to have big faith that God can and God will do it. Like I said, I'm going to win the publisher's clearing out. But I know I got to go in and play the games one day. I just haven't done it. I got too busy for publishing. But I know that God said I'm going to win it. I'm only here to say that. I'm just saying it with faith that I'm going to win the publisher's clearing house and be debt free. Hallelujah. My church will be paid. My house will be paid for and everything that I desire to help anybody will happen. I'm believing that, not just for myself. You know, we got to make sure that whatever we do it for the glory of God. But anyway, that is all we have this morning. We said our prayer, and now it's time for a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carol. And if there is anybody that has had your ram in the bush, I don't see anybody. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, push the number one on your few have had your ram in the bush experience. If you are on our conference call, just unmute and let us know what was your ram in the bush experience.
I didn't hear you read Psalms. Did you read Psalms 6?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, that's where we talked about I am weary with my groaning.
Okay.
All night
okay.
I make my bed swim. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. It, Lord, God knows what you go through. And it says,
He do.
Good morning. In everything, give thanks. Come on, Sister Carol. Did Abraham give thanks for that ram in the bush? Did the disciples give thanks? They did not fall over. Did the men in the tomb, or Jonathan asked, did they get a little excited when them demons came out? Come on now. When when David talked about being weary and grief-stricken, I'm sure he let God know. Thank you. Hallelujah. When we trust in the Lord, that lets him know we appreciate everything he's doing. We got to say thank
Amen.
You. So Sister Carolyn on point in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Have a thankful Thursday. We got to have a thankful Thursday for our rams in the bush. Whatever your ram may be, whether your ram is financial, whether your ram is help when you need it, whether your ram is a coat in the wintertime because you don't have one, whether your ram is shoes on your feet, whether your ram is a car or a bus or a train or a plane, whatever it is that you may need to get you from point A to point B, God will provide. Whatever it is, if it's food in your refrigerator, God will provide. If it's money in your pocket, God will provide. We got to understand whatever your ram and your need is, provide a ram in the bush. We got to understand that obedience is better than sacrifice. Because just imagine, had Abraham not listened to the voice of God and sacrificed his son and then found the ram. Come on now. But he didn't. He waited on the Lord. And we have to wait on the Lord also. We got to wait on God. We got to don't mind waiting on the Lord. We got
Amen.
To trust God. And we got to know I don't mind waiting on the Lord.
It says, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer. Again, I say wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good cheer. So in due season, he will answer you. Wait on the Lord. And it said, the Lord will receive my prayer. He'll receive your prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. Oh, I mean, those were trying days for Abraham. Abraham was in a dark place. He didn't really know what was going on. But he obeyed God. He did exactly what God told him to do. And the young lad that he tied up, that boy could have escaped. He could have got away from his dad. He didn't have to get on the altar. But I look at the obedience of that child. He was just a young lad. But he obeyed his father. He said, Father, Father, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham told him, you know, you're the sacrifice. And I'm sure he was scared. But he allowed his father to tie him up. And he had seen what Abraham do with sacrifice. I mean, that was a dark place for both of them. What he dark place. The boy didn't get up and try to run.
No.
He obeyed his dad. You know, that's a great story if you can think about it. It's a great story. Abraham told his sons, the Lord will provide.
The Lord will provide.
And his, the Lord will provide. And he had a ram in the bush, but that boy had to be afraid. My own father going to kill me, going to slay me like he do the animals and sacrifice me? The boy had a lot of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, he had so much faith. Abraham had so much faith. Because Abraham said, me and the lad, we will
and
return.
And we have to have faith.
Yes,
we
do.
Have to have
he
faith.
Saw himself killing his child, but the child being raised up. His son, his only son. And see, that's what Jesus did. He sacrificed his, God sacrificed his son, his only son, for us. And
Amen.
If he hadn't did what he did, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't be saved. We would be continually lost in our sins, struggling. But God did it. God did it.
Which is why
God
we cannot mind waiting on the Lord. You know, this song of worship, you know, it just touched my heart. And again, if there is anyone that has had their ram in the bush moment, now is the time to push those buttons. If you just want to say thank you to God, you know, I don't mind waiting. Abraham waited on God. We got to wait on the Lord. We got to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. I'm sure Hagar, when she's out in that desert with her baby, thinking he's going to die. She knew, I can't watch my baby die and suffer. And then God said, I'm going to provide, and God provided for her, gave her water for her child, made him a great nation. Come on now. God will do it because he still got the blessings of Abraham. And when Abraham died, he came to his daddy's funeral. He came with his brother Isaac. He was there because he didn't mind waiting. He didn't have a hatred for his dad. He was there. And we got to be there. We got to not mind waiting on what God is going to do because God will do great things. We can't mind waiting. We can't mind waiting on God. Can't. Lord, I need you. Yes, I need you. We got to have that in our spirit. And as we get ready to close for the Blog Talk listeners, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, we got to know that we need God. If you want to stay on for a few more minutes as we worship just for a little bit. We can't mind waiting on God. We cannot mind. I don't mind waiting. Thank you, Jesus. We need God. Abraham needed God. The man possessed needed Jesus, we need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, Hallelujah. Thanking God for another day. As we get ready to wrap up, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of Jesus, who we need. We can't mind waiting on the Lord. Have a blessed day, family. Mother Valerie, it is a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
I don't mind.
Bye-bye, Reed.
Bye, everyone. Have a great day. We love you.